required for students.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Thursday, join us for a personal tour of
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire
right
to speak
the
to the
US,
host, please
a show
press 1
co-hosted
at
by
any time,
HWC
and the host will be notified
homeopath,
that there is a caller
Debbie
in
Brock.
Queue.
And
otherwise,
at law,
please hold and
Alan
you'll be able
Phillips.
To listen to the show.
We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions.
For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Welcome. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips talking to you from the Vaccine Rights Studios in beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. Joining me at the half-hour mark, my wonderful host, Debbie Bruck, founder, wonderful co-host, Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community. And we have the great pleasure and honor of following Tiger Lily every Thursday afternoon, beginning here at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific Times. We are a simulcast show going out to Freedomizer Radio listeners and Homeopathy World Community listeners, and we are delighted to have any and all of you. I have a little bit of a cold today, so if I sniffle or sneeze a little bit or cough, I hope you'll take it in stride and we'll just keep on going. Got a hodgepodge of things to talk to you about in the first half hour today. I had a question for someone recently where a mother says the school won't allow my son to ride the school bus because I refuse to vaccinate him. The bus driver refused to allow him on the bus, and I, the mother, was not informed of this until I tried to put him on the bus. It was quite humiliating for me and my son. Can they really do this? Well, first of all, the humiliation is just despicable that anybody would do something like that with no kind of advanced warning. That's just completely unprofessional. So even if they were totally within their rights, they were unprofessional, and that should not be tolerated by anybody. But let's take this apart. I'm not answering this specific woman's question, but I'm looking at this as more as a hypothetical. We don't give legal advice over the air or medical advice. We share information about the law and sometimes about medicine and science for information and educational purposes only. It's difficult to do legal advice over the air or medical advice, even if you really want to, and even if you do have the proper credentials for doing that, because every situation is ultimately unique, and often you need to have lots of details to be able to advise someone, which is why attorneys do consultations and will spend an hour, or in my case, when I get into vaccine rights issues, even 2 or sometimes 3 hours going over the many details about how the law works and what people's options are and how to best approach whatever the situation is. So it can be quite lengthy. But the starting place to me in sort of the quick and dirty legal analysis of this situation, a child not being allowed to get on the bus in the morning because he's not vaccinated. There's so many parts and pieces to this, it's kind of hard to know where to begin. But I think in terms of legal analysis, we start with the fact that there are only 3 places legally, using the word place kind of figuratively here, 3 statuses or places legally you can be with regard to vaccines, or children can be with respect to vaccines. You're either, parents are either giving their children or having administered to their children any and all legally required vaccines, or if parents are not doing the required vaccines, then they are exercising one or more exemptions, one or more of any available exemption options, or they're not doing either one of those first two. Now, if you're not doing either one of those first two, then you probably are not in compliance with the law. And once you're in that third category, and a lot of people get there unintentionally, they discover something about the vaccine issue and they say, you know, I'm going to research this more before I just go blindly give my kid all the, dozens these days of vaccines that are recommended by the CDC, and most of which are probably mandated by most states. And that's an intelligent thing to do, except a lot of times parents will take that sort of time out from the regular schedule, so to speak, without asking, can I legally do this? Is this a legal option? And if so, do I need to do anything to be able to legally exercise that option? And usually what that means is if you're not going to do vaccines, you better be exercising an exemption if there are required vaccines that you're not giving your children. So let's assume for purposes of this question about child not being allowed to ride the bus that the mother did not have a legal exemption and the kid wasn't vaccinated. Then I think at that point, legally, the kid can be excluded from school, the kid can be excluded from the bus. I don't see how they could keep the kid off the bus if it was only about the bus and the kid can go to school. I mean, those are part of the same package. And it wasn't clear in the question whether that was the way the school said that your kid can't come back to school at all, or whether somehow the bus was being singled out as no unvaccinated kid gets on my bus. But if the parent and child were not in compliance with the law, if they were not either vaccinating or exercising an exemption, then most schools have a right. Maybe you have, some schools have like a 30-day grace period at the beginning of the year, or if you come into the school during the year, some sort of grace period, you have some amount of time to get up to date with your vaccines. But the bottom line, if you're not in compliance with the law, you're not in some grace period or doing one of those first two options that I talked about, then probably they can keep you out of school. Most states, if not all states, have laws. You know, if you don't have the proper vaccines at the proper time, you can't go to school. So that would, of course, mean you couldn't get on the bus either. But if the child and parent are in compliance with the law, whether it's getting the vaccines or exercising an exemption, then, of course, no, you shouldn't be able to, and I don't know any reason why you could keep somebody off the bus. That's sort of the legal part of it, but I want to talk about the medical part of it too, because this is what is so crazy about this whole vaccine insanity, one of the many things, but that the pro-vaccine people are not consistent with their own mainstream information. It's been set up, designed vaccine policy and law, has been designed to create and cause fear and, for the most part, unwarranted and excessive fear of infectious disease, and more specifically, fear of unvaccinated people, as though somehow if you're unvaccinated, you know, the mentality is that if you have a vaccine, you're fine. If you don't get a vaccine, you're going to kill everybody, and you should be shunned and avoided and not allowed to play any reindeer games. You know, it's just really crazy the way that it's treated. But it seems logical from a mainstream view on the surface until you take the next step here and you recognize that, for example, the CDC says that 5 to 15% of vaccinated kids don't develop immunity. And the latest figure on the CDC website that I've seen is that nationally, school exemptions average 1.8%. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist in math to see that 1.8% of exempt kids is a tiny fraction of 5 to 15% of vaccinated kids. But it's even better or worse, depending whose side you're looking at it from, than that, because the CDC tells us that if you're not vaccinated, you can get this rare condition that most people have never heard of. But maybe, listeners to this show are more educated. Maybe you guys have heard of this. It's something called natural immunity. Anybody ever heard of that? Natural immunity. It may not be in the medical books anymore, but you could probably find it online somewhere. I'm joking about this, of course, but this is what is so crazy. It's not just that you can get natural immunity. In other words, if you don't get a vaccine, that doesn't mean you're not immune. But the CDC tells us that you can get natural immunity without even developing symptoms. When I hear this a lot about people who talk about polio historically, for example, Yes, absolutely. There were people who were permanently paralyzed and disabled by polio, and it's horrific, and I don't mean to diminish that one iota. But that is greatly distorted and exaggerated in terms of the scope and rate and occurrence of that. Many people exposed to polio didn't get any illness whatsoever. Many people had very mild cold or flu-like symptoms, got well. A very small percentage of people had temporary paralysis, but they recovered from it. And then a small percentage of those people had permanent paralysis. So let's not diminish the tragedies that occurred, but let's put it in proper perspective. It's not as if somebody hasn't gotten a vaccine, that you're going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life. Statistical odds of that are remote at this point. Wild polio has not been around in the U.S. for many, many years at this point, and the only cases of paralytic polio in the U.S. in the last probably 30 years or more at this point, maybe 40 years, have been vaccine-induced. So even if the vaccine works, and there's plenty of evidence to show that it did exactly the opposite, it actually made things worse, at least the first polio vaccine that was introduced. But even if it does work, is it worth it now to have a small percentage of people get polio from the vaccine when we don't even have polio around? But anyway, I digress. A child should not and probably legally can't be kicked off a bus for not being vaccinated if the parent has a legal exemption. Now, what can you do about it, and what are the potential remedies and so forth? Just depend on the situation. If you have a religious exemption and you've filed that with the proper authorities and the school is aware of it and they won't let your child on the bus, that is violating your constitutional rights. Now, constitutional rights in some instances are somewhat abstract, but the U.S. Supreme Court has made it clear that the loss of First Amendment rights, and this is what we're talking about, what the First Amendment of the Constitution has several different things in it, but one of them is the free exercise of religion, called sometimes for short just the Free Exercise Clause. And courts have awarded money damages for even minor or temporary losses of First Amendment freedom. So if somebody wants to think you're some sort of crazy lunatic religious fanatic because you're opposed to vaccines for religious reasons, that's their opinion. But your crazy fanatical religious beliefs opposed to vaccines are every bit as protected by the First Amendment as any other more common mainstream religion or religious beliefs or whatever. So they all have the same weight under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So that's really, it's so discouraging to hear how parents and children are treated. And I don't want to get off on a side tangent, but I had my own run-in with the local public school system. Have had minor ones in the past, but a not-so-minor one last year, and I'm homeschooling my child this year. I know a lot of people don't feel like they have that option, and I sure never thought I had the option until I felt forced into it. And so it's a challenge. It is another part-time job, but I'm going to tell you, folks, you would be amazed at how resilient the human spirit is and how adaptable and innovative you and I can be if we allow ourselves, or if some of us who are a little more hard-headed, if we're pushed into a corner and sort of forced into it. So we're working it out as we go to one extent, but we're pulling it off, and I think we're going to make it work. I'm not sure whether this will be for just a couple of years or for the rest of my son's education. We'll see how it goes. But decisions that everybody has to make for themselves. But when you're dealing, you know, you don't get to pick who the bus driver is and who the teachers are and who the principal is and who the school system people are, and probably most of them do their best to do a good job in good faith, but there are human beings come in vastly different varieties of personalities, mental health, intelligence, and any other attribute you can think of. And I tell you, when you homeschool, you really narrow down the random selection there, or your lack of ability to choose who is interacting with your child in what way. And many people see the trade-off as trade-offs. There is always trade-offs, but see the trade-off favoring homeschooling. And I never thought I would, but here I am doing that. So hopefully I've covered a little bit about that. And by the way, this is a live show that people are welcome to call into. Let me tell you the call-in number. It's area code. Where is it? 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704. You can also email me anytime, attorney@vaccinerights.com. attorney@vaccinerights.com. So if you've got questions about your rights with vaccines, call in and let me know. Talk to us on the air. Send me an email. I'll try to address your question on the air. I want to run through some other just sort of quick things that have come to my attention in recent times. I saw something, an article recently. The article actually was originally from, let me see. Actually, this wasn't that long ago. I was thinking this was from last year, but it looks like it was from just a couple of months ago. An article about Sanofi Pasteur, which is a pharmaceutical company. I believe they're one of the ones that manufactures the flu vaccine. Anyway, they are on the hunt for, are you ready for this? This sort of takes the cake in terms of, in the bad puns contest, flugitives. They're looking for the flugitives this season. Let's see if that one catches on, folks. I think it's a loser. I don't think it'll catch on, but we'll just have to see. These flugitives, I'm reading from the article now, these flugitives live in every town in America. They could be hiding in your workplace, your gym, the grocery store, or even in your own home. Each year in the U.S., 1 in 5 people, or up to 20% of the population, get the flu, and an estimated 226,000 people are hospitalized from influenza-related complications. Boy, we could rip those numbers apart, but we'll leave that aside for the moment. Where are we at here? But since the single most important thing adults can do to help prevent spreading the flu is to get their annual flu vaccination, these flugitives should not wait. So if you're not getting your flu vaccine now, you are a flugitive. You got to find your humor where you can in this area, folks, because there's some really dark stuff going on in the vaccine medical healthcare world, and you dig deep enough and you get back into layers behind layers that connect to other issues outside of healthcare, and there's just a lot of disturbing stuff going on. But every once in a while we get something that is just, you have to laugh at it. So, I don't know, maybe we can do the T-shirts. I'll talk to Debbie about that and Freedomizer Radio. Maybe we can get up, you know, T-shirts. Flugitive and proud of it. That's what I want my T-shirt to say. I'm a flugitive and proud of it. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, I want to move on to another question that I see pretty often. It's a very reasonable question. In fact, one of the frustrating things to me in the work that I do, working with clients, helping people to avoid the flu vaccines or other vaccines are required for school or work or military or immigration or whatever the issue may be, is that there are a lot of times where people ask very reasonable questions and they're looking for a simple answer, and it just turns out there isn't a simple answer. So I will give you an example of that. People will contact me and they'll say, you know, I'm considering working with you, hiring you to help me avoid a vaccine. You know, what are my chances of success? Well, that's a reasonable question. Now, as attorneys go, I'm pretty inexpensive, but even my rates are professional legal rates, and you spend a lot of money when you go to an attorney, even a low-cost one. And you want to know, you know, what, are you going to get a return on your investment? So it's a very reasonable answer. And the sad reality is that attorneys cannot guarantee outcomes. And that's simply because we're dealing, almost in almost any situation we're dealing with, where the outcomes are dependent upon other people's thinking and behavior that we can't control. This is an inherent difficulty with vaccine exemption and waiver situations, is that the people on the other side always have the leverage. See, I can tell you what your rights are, and I can help you determine what the best way to approach your situation is, or we can certainly look at all the facts and look at the law and work together and come to some decisions about, you know, what's most likely the best way to approach this. I mean, a lot of things in law just don't boil down to a calculation, and you say the answer is 27 or whatever. A lot of it involves weighing things, exercising judgment, and so forth. So there are times when I can tell someone, here are your rights, here's what you can do to exercise those rights. But people on the other side don't have to cooperate with us. The people on the other side who are charged with reviewing your exemption or accepting your exemption or dealing or processing with your exemption request, even if they agree with you and say, yes, you do have a right here, if they want to, they can say, I don't care. Get the shot or you're not going to school here or you're not working here or you don't get to come to America or whatever the issue is. You have to get out of the military unless you get these shots. They do not have to behave professionally even or follow the law. Of course, they're supposed to. Don't get me wrong. I'm not inviting somebody to misbehave. But the sad reality is, the practical reality is, sometimes people do what they want to. I use a rather extreme analogy to make this point, so I hope you'll forgive the tastelessness of it, but it really underscores the point, and it's simply this. A serial killer does not keep killing because he thinks it's legal. And so the bottom line is, anybody can do anything they want to until they're physically restrained or physically forced to do something or whatever it is. So part of the calculation then in attorneys working with clients is, how can you approach this in a manner most likely to be effective? You know, do we jump out there with all our claws out and scare someone or anger someone and think that will get them to cooperate with us? I mean, there are times when people are just out, have really crossed the line, and you got to come aggressively to deal with the situation. But that really goes to the next piece of the question. You know, what are my odds of success here? Every situation is ultimately different. You can get 10 people whose kids are in the same school, in the same state, have the exact same law, and every one of them will have something at least subtly different from everyone else's situation. And the way the law works, your rights depend not only on where you live, what jurisdiction legally, so what does the law in your jurisdiction say, in the particular context that you're dealing with, you know, a school exemption, a military exemption, or whatever. But it also depends on the specific facts in your situation. So there's just no way to tell somebody what their odds of success are, because every situation is ultimately different, and they have to be looked at one at a time. Now, it turns out that within the ethical rules that attorneys are required to follow, and some of them actually do follow the ethical rules, believe it or not, I try to. I've seen a lot who don't care about the lines, but I do my best. There are ethical rules that prevent attorneys or disallow attorneys to tell a new client what their chances of success are. Excuse me, folks. There's just no way to calculate. It's not something you can calculate. It's not something you can estimate. And you can't base it on your success with past clients, because everybody's situation is different. So one example of reasonable questions that people ask, that it just turns out there really isn't a fair answer. And in fact, attorneys are, at least in my state, in the ethical rules, probably the same thing elsewhere, not really allowed to tell you what your chances of success are. Having said that, I don't mind telling people when I'm dealing with a particular area, such as healthcare workers. The vast majority of my healthcare worker clients are successful. That doesn't mean your chances are high, because your chances depend on your particular situation. But it does leave me feeling well for my clients in that arena generally. There are some other areas where it tends to be more difficult, even when it's clear that the right is there, and that is that in some situations there just seem to be more people on the other side who are uncomfortable cooperating or resistant for one reason or another, or have difficulty or whatever. It's hard to say exactly what it is. Again, just can vary from situation to situation. I don't know if I mentioned this in the past. There's a woman by the name of Catherine Frumpovich, who has been a journalist writing on alternative health issues with a focus on vaccines for many, many years. She's come out with a new book. She's authored several books, but this recent one is on vaccines. It's called Vaccination Voodoo, What You Don't Know About Vaccines. It's now available at Amazon.com. Vaccination Voodoo, a book I recommend people take a look at. Catherine's done excellent research over the years into the subject of vaccines, and I have not had time to read the whole book yet, but it looks excellent from what I've seen so far, and she's meticulous in her research, so I recommend that. Vaccination Voodoo. There's another book that's out fairly recently. I'm pretty sure I've talked about that, but I'll go ahead and mention this now while I'm on the subject of books here. And that's a book called Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History. Dissolving Illusions. This is by Suzanne Humphreys, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, and Roman Bistrionic. This is a fascinating book that's gone back into the history of vaccines, and there's not been a lot written. I think I've seen one other book that really went back into the history in Britain and elsewhere. When you look at the history of vaccines, when you look at it more thoroughly than the cherry-picked sections that are sometimes picked out by vaccine advocates to promote vaccines, when you see the history, you realize that vaccines have had a very, very questionable ride throughout history. They are not the saviors that we have been taught they are. They have been many, many vaccine failures. There have been people objecting to vaccines for as long as they've been around, and not just crazy fanatics, but medical doctors and others coming with very legitimate objective information saying, hey, there are problems here. So another good book to look at, folks, to understand the background, Dissolving Illusions. We've got to go to break here. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. I'm vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips. Joining me on the other side of break, Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. So, folks, I hope you'll stay with us, and we'll be back in just a little bit.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have the right to know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they'd include the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city. All you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
We are back with Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. This is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips. And with me now, my wonderful co-host, Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Debbie, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Alan. I'm listening in to you. Lots of important information. You know, I feel almost as if the world is in crisis, which it is, and that every day we receive news about what's going on all around us. And the only way that we can really cope with it is to kind of find time for yourself to do some meditation, quiet your mind. And I'm working on prioritizing, because whether we're talking about Monsanto labeling GMOs, the takeover of world treaties so that we lose the internet, vaccinations, big pharma, corporations, the stock market, wherever what we're doing and listening to in mostly the alternative news media, because you're not going to hear too much of it, although it's kind of seeping into the mainstream media, we might feel powerless, vulnerable, helpless, because the greater force out there is manipulating what we can do. And I would hate to say we would ever lose the internet to be able to communicate with each other, but it is potentially out there if we action and speak out. So that is, you can hear, I am pretty concerned and passionate about the fact that we are doing radio together. And I thank you so much for your focus in rights and exemptions for people who are informed and knowledgeable about the vaccination issue today.
Well, you're right, Debbie. There's no shortage of things to be concerned about. There's no shortage of big problems to be concerned about. We have a caller on the line, and that's not something we have a lot on this show, at least recently. If it's all right with you, Debbie, let's go to the caller and see what we've got there.
See,
caller,
who's talking?
Area code 914. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I wanted to know if you, either of you, have heard of, looks like a really big nonprofit, and it's called the International Rescue Committee, and they're connected to your topic in this way, that they're in Syria right now giving polio vaccines. And this got my attention because they are actually the sponsors of the farmers market here where I live. It just seemed like a strange mixture of causes, so to speak. And when I first discovered this and did a search on it, which was, I guess, a couple of months ago, I'm not getting the same results as I do this search in the last couple of days. In fact, I'm not allowed on their website. Their main website is what it says. And I have spoken on other radio programs about this nonprofit and that they were in Syria giving lots of vaccines to people, thinking. And they're portrayed in the media as heroes. But the other thing about this whole vaccine thing is that I remember about a year ago, I did a search on polio and vaccines, and what I found was that actually what could be concluded from the information that was out there, just as substantially as some people seem to prove that the polio vaccine was the hero in the story of polio, that equally could be concluded from the information that was out there, that is no longer out there, in the same way, that actually the polio epidemic in the 50s and the 40s was instigated by people who had control of the laboratory. And information and the way that it can be changed on the internet is also a concern of mine. I was at a thrift store yesterday, and they were selling books by the cartload.
I'm sorry to break in. Would you like to focus on one thing so that we can kind of address your issue?
Because
you're just talking about so many different things.
Because
I went to the website. I went to the website you're speaking about, and it's called www.rescue.org/crisis-Syria. And it's Syria Refugee Crisis. And their humanitarian response to help thousands of people crossing Syria's border every day, trapped in a country. And it shows a picture, and I don't know whether it's just a medical picture. They've reached more than 750 vulnerable people with medical and emergency supplies. So I suppose what you're talking about is, why are they giving vaccines for polio, as they do say, our emergency response is at work in camps providing clean water and sanitation, which is really important. I think that's primary. Education to primary students and emergency supplies to families. So your question is, why are they part of your local farmers market?
No, that's not my question. And you need to hear this, really, seriously, listen. The site that you're on right now, rescue.org, is a sub-site that seems to have been created recently, okay? Their main site, which is called the International Rescue Committee, is the organization that I'm talking about. And what I found was that their main page looks like this one, the one you were reading when I first went there. But if you search and look, who do they consist of? Who is the International Rescue Committee? What you find
Good
is they're
question.
Connected to the United Nations. They're connected
right.
to Valerie Jarrett, Obama's behind-the-scenes eugenicist. You see, that's what got my attention.
Right.
That's what I want to talk about. See how they, in addition, within 2 weeks, of course they
right.
have the means to doctor up their websites. I'm pointing
I
this
see.
Out, okay?
Okay. International.
Well, let me jump in here with some comments about polio,
yeah.
Then, and just a few things that I know off the top of my head. First of all, my understanding is very much the same of yours as you were describing, that polio, when the first polio vaccine was introduced in this country in the mid-1950s, and the polio epidemics peaked in the late 40s and around 1950. So polio had actually already been declining for a few years, up to 5 years before the vaccine was even introduced. And what happened with the polio vaccine is that it actually reversed that decline, but that decline reversal was covered up on paper by redefining polio. And this is information that's in congressional testimony, documented congressional testimony by Dr. Bernard Greenberg, who is a biostatistician at the University of North Carolina in 1962. He testified before Congress. When I was in law school, I went and looked it up because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing I could believe it, but I was outraged by it. Anyway, they redefined polio. There were viruses before the vaccine that were statistically documented as polio after the vaccine were documented as something else, including Coxsackie virus and aseptic meningitis, for example. So the idea that the polio vaccine saved us was just an out-and-out lie. It was a cover-up. Now, we've seen the same thing happen, or a similar thing happen recently in India. India has now been declared to be free of polio thanks to the polio vaccine. The problem is, the thing that the pro-vaccine folks won't bother to mention, like the lies they didn't mention to us back in the 50s and 60s about polio here in the U.S., is that there's another new disease now in India that is clinically indistinguishable from polio, and it happens to be more virulent than polio. But it's not the wild polio virus, so they're not calling it polio. And what it is a disease that is the byproduct of the live polio viral vaccine that they're using. So, I mean, this is absurd, of course. You know, we've eradicated polio. This other disease that's now the same as polio and worse, since that's not, you know, real polio, then we don't have to count that, and we can say polio is eliminated. So it's totally absurd.
Right.
And we've got a worse condition after the vaccine than before the vaccine, but they're not going to let that stop them from claiming victory. So when I hear something like, and I've heard different numbers from different people, that they want to vaccinate 10 million or somebody even said 20 million children in Syria. I don't know how many children there are in Syria, but they want to vaccinate them all with the polio vaccine. And let me back up just a second. It was just a few weeks ago, maybe several weeks ago, when there was polio vaccination for Israel was in the news, and the story was that they had found polio virus in the water system somewhere. No cases of polio, but they had supposedly found polio virus, and so now they're going to vaccinate everybody in the country with polio as, I guess, a preventative measure or whatever. And that sort of thing, when you look at what happened in the 50s and 60s in the U.S., you look at what just happened in India, and then you hear somebody saying, no cases of disease, but we're going to vaccinate. I just got to ask, what's really going on? You know, there's got to be something else going on here. You know, in Syria, the idea, of course, of jumping in to help out children in Syria is a laudable, honorable, and in some respects, I'm sure, critical and necessary thing to do. But when you start talking about vaccinating them, and I haven't heard anybody yet say there have been all these rampant outbreaks of polio that they need to go in and vaccinate, I just have to ask, what's the real agenda here? Because I don't believe it's to protect the kids from polio.
Alan? I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name.
Oh,
the caller.
My name is Sarah.
Sarah. And Sarah, you know, I've been trying to search on the Internet while you've been talking about this IRC, the International Rescue Committee. And I am really interested in what you've pointed out about deflection and deception and moving things around, renaming, relabeling, rebranding who and what a group of people are and what they do in the same way that the polio disease was reconfigured. And so I would like to know what the original URL was for the original page, because they have seemed to have wiped it clean and put it into this new perspective of this rescue committee with little groups in every university, in every town, in every city, major city, to make it look like they are doing beneficial things for the world, where we might begin to question what is their agenda, because we don't really know.
Okay, here's what I can help you with. Here's what I can help you with is that the only way I'm doing the same thing at the same time as you, and here's the links that we can follow that are still there. Regarding polio, the other big date is 1936 with Rockefeller, and I think, as you know, Debbie, because you're a homeopathist, that was when they made it law. They separated non-pharmaceutical people, doctors who use drugs, they separated them from any sort of health care where it did not use any kind of drugs. This is relevant because actually the polio thing goes, the epidemic goes back to 1916, but it was not called polio. It was called the flu. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you this is what you can find still. They haven't gotten to this yet. If you go to 1916, what comes up is the story of the flu epidemic, so that it tells how many people were by the government quarantined, and then it became okay for the federal government to use police to quarantine people for health issues. But in between 1916 and 1936, people still had the freedom to choose what kind of things did they do for health. And there are many cultures, and as you know, many kinds of procedures to heal and recover that don't involve purchasing pharmaceuticals from their industry, you see? So, but for some reason, and at the same time, what's interesting about this to me is that that by 1936, what they were finding was that as they began to clean up the sewage systems and things like that, that actually the diseases started to go away. It's almost as if it started to clear up from practices that didn't have anything to do with drugs, and then the drug companies met with Rockefeller and said, I'm just making this part up, but it just kind of seems like that, because even though things were clearing up without drug intervention, all of a sudden comes the big strong arm of the government with Rockefeller saying, anything that does not use drugs to help or cure is going to be illegal. It's not going to be sanctioned. It's wrong. It's hocus pocus.
Right.
That's what happened.
Okay.
So follow those
so I guess we're not able to find the lead in that IRC, because when I do try to look it up, I come to a warning, this is IRC.com, it becomes an Arab site. It becomes not a U.S. site when I look that up.
How I found them was that they are the sponsors of the local farmers market here, and it happens to be that it's today. So I think I'm going to take a little bus ride, a short bus ride down there, and talk to them, see what, and just sort of say
what you can find out.
See what they say. Thank you.
Well, please do it. Let us know what you find out. I really appreciate you calling in and sparking a conversation and giving us new information to think about and look into.
Thank you
for
the work you're doing. They're going to need a lot more people like you, because I really foresee that they're planning another big one like this, like in 1916.
Well, they're already doing it. They're already doing it, and they're already doing it with the push to get everybody to take a statin drug, which has just been announced, which is also everyone needs to investigate the validity of increasing the population to be on these types of drugs. For what reason, if you can do it natural, take care of yourself holistically, naturally through foods that you eat and herbs and things like that, why would you need to be put onto a medication? Everyone in the population, why would we need to take a statin? I mean, God did not create humankind to be on a drug. I mean, that is ridiculous, but that's the line that we're getting fed. Alan, did you want to say anything?
No, I mean, that covers it for me for this point. Again, Sarah, I really appreciate your call and your information, and do check back in with us and let us know what you find out. It would be very interesting to hear.
Thank you, and I appreciate the time to tell you both how much I appreciate you. Thanks.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you as well.
Okay.
All right.
Take care. I wanted to talk about a bunch of stuff. I mean, if I'm not hogging the radio here today.
Yeah, dive right on in. You know, there's always more to talk about than there's time to talk about, so we'll just get to what we can.
One of my issues that I'm concerned about is right now they're trying to educate physicians on how to approach patients, how to talk to patients to become more of the white coat, more of the stethoscope, the authoritative figure, to actually have power and not give the client or the patient a chance to have a choice and be outspoken in their personal belief system. And this comes from an article. You want me to talk about this?
Well, I was just going to jump in real quick with a comment here, Deb, because let's face it, you know, doctors in the world today are too timid and shy. You know, they're afraid to take authority or control, and they really are pushovers. They always let parents just walk all over them, and so they really need to learn how to just, you know, assume their authority and power and be assertive and stand up to parents. But anyway, go ahead, because
This is truly an issue,
doctors,
Alan.
You know?
this is truly an issue. And I say that because they have a problem with compliance. And they're having a problem with compliance regarding vaccinations today because people are becoming educated. They're searching out. They're finding out from their own personal experience in their family that there is damage done, and then they make a new choice. So what's happening is, this is coming from an article called Tell, Don't Ask, when it comes to vaccinating kids. Pediatricians who told their parents that their child needed a vaccination rather than asked if they wanted one, met less parental resistance. And this is under study. This is what researchers have found out. 3/4 of the providers brought up the issue of vaccination by using a presumptive approach, which assumes that parents will immunize their children. And this was done at the University of Washington School of Medicine in Seattle. 26% of parents were resistant to vaccine recommendations when providers used the presumptive approach, like assuming, okay, you know, the parents are going to want it because it's always been that way. However, 83% resisted when providers used a participatory approach. This means that you're in this together. This means that I am not the figure who tells you what to do. I am the person who is interactive in your health care. So the participatory approach, which invites parental involvement, which is really a significantly higher number, and this was published in the November 4th issue of Pediatrics. Quote, I think we've known for some time that we have to be careful in our language when we broach the subject of vaccines with parents, and especially now when more and more parents are resistant to vaccines, quoted by Robin Strohsacker, MD, a pediatrician at the University Hospitals, Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital in Cleveland. So we're looking at this new wave of educating physicians on how to address and approach parents to get more compliance without resistance. And this is something, you know, goes across the board about all of your medications. How do you get a person to take your medications, whether or not, you know, like let's say you are getting a side effect, a reaction, and the doctor will say, this is just expected. We just expect, you know, to have this kind of thing, where the person in their soul energy is saying to themselves, I don't feel good. I'm not thinking clearly. This is not me. This is not the real me that's living this life anymore. The drugs are taking over my life. And then they try and seek out other kinds of alternatives. But the doctors really, you know, they're not educated on it. They're not up on it. They don't know very much about nutrition. They don't know very much about herbs. And most of the problem is that they're not allowed in most circumstances to go off of the path of the regimented protocol that is directed to them from higher authorities of the medical insurance companies and things like that. So this is where our system is very much broken. And I just wanted to bring up now that people, parents, in order to have more control over their say, are going to have to listen very carefully when they go to the doctor's office. What is happening in this interaction between me and my healthcare provider? That's my spiel on that. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, it's just really revealing, but on two different sides of the coin here, where they say 26% of parents that were resistant to vaccines when providers use the presumptive approach, as opposed to 83% resisted when providers use the participatory approach. So basically,
yes,
as you say, they're recommending that doctors take the I'm right, don't question or challenge me. I thought all doctors already did that, so that's good news to learn that
no.
Some of them do take a more humanistic approach to their interactions with patients. It also tells us, though, something about the psychology of parents and something about parents' lack of clarity or comfort or security in their position of questioning vaccines if they're in a place where they do have some question or concerns, but a doctor who takes a stronger approach and reassures them everything's okay isn't all it takes to get them to say, well, okay. Now, I'm not saying that as a criticism of parents, because parents are caught with a really tough decision when they haven't been researching this for years like you and I and others have and are just really clear about an alternative position. It is really difficult to step out of the mainstream box because wherever or however you do that, you immediately subject yourself to criticism, to ostracism, to exclusion from whatever groups or circles of friends or professionals or what have you for daring to buck the system. And that's particularly hard to do with a medical professional who's positioning himself or herself as the expert and you as the ignorant, uninformed non-doctor. And so it's a very intimidating situation to begin with. And, you know, I remember, for example, when I was a young adult, and or not even really so young, I guess in my mid-30s, when my first son was born, and I actually succeeded in getting a doctor to sit down with me and listen to me explain to him what I found in my research on vaccines. And he took an hour of his time to listen to me. And I was just, I've got to be one of the luckiest parents in the world. Here's a doctor who actually would listen to me rather than sit here and yell at me or fight with me or whatever. And he actually complimented me, said, you know, you've certainly done your research and so forth. However, later he sent me a bill for $150, and at that particular time, I won't admit how many years ago it was, but it was quite a few, and that was a lot of money. And, you know, if that had happened today to me, I would have sent him a bill for $250 for the education session. And I would say,
you're wiser,
you know,
now.
Well, it's not just that I'm wiser. It's that I'm more secure and sure of myself. And it's, you know, having the letters JD after my name certainly helps a little bit with that. And I would probably say, you know, if you'd rather just trade and give me one more free session, you know, and call it even, I'll be glad to do that. And, of course, I wouldn't push it or pursue it or follow it up, but I certainly wouldn't put a check in the mail either. I felt really offended and I don't know, hurt and other things, where I had spent all this time doing research, went in there and educated him on what I had found, and then he wants to charge me for his time to listen to it and say, nice job on your research. You know.
Oh, my God.
So my point is that as a somewhat young or certainly younger than today parent, and I'm one of the radical rebellious types, but even for me, I wasn't able to be assertive in that
right.
situation at that time. So I understand that mm-hmm. most parents are going to have difficulty with that. So this bothers me because mm-hmm. medical professionals, many of them, I'm sure it's not all, but many of them, if not most of them, at least based on what I hear from people, already mm-hmm. are overly aggressive to the point of being offensive bullying, unprofessional
yeah.
bullying. And what they're really promoting here is more bullying.
Unfortunately, yes. They're actually teaching them the verbiage, the actual language that works because they've tested it in research. How do you get a person to comply? And while you've got them there in the office, you know, it's different if you send somebody home with medicine and then at home they don't comply. But you're right there. And how can And, you know, when you're in a situation where you're in their territory, you know, it's their office and they've got a whole staff right there who's going to be ready to take an action, how do you put up your hand and say, no, not now, let me think about it, let me make a choice, you know,
well, you
and
know,
then...
The words that come to mind as you're saying that, Debbie, is one possible response. I'm not necessarily suggesting anybody say this, but one possible response is, thank you for your opinion. I'm here for your advice, not for your orders.
That's good. So we need to teach some language then to the parent or to the individual who's there for their own good, because every time I go to the doctor, they always want to give me the flu shot or give me any other kind of the tetanus shot or whatever it is. And, you know, it's not necessary. I'm not out there in any situation that I know of where I would need this. And so to say no in a way that they understand it, you know, when you get a person on the telephone who, what do they call them? The
telemarketers.
I don't know what the telemarketers. You know, there's this thing that, if you say no three times, then they have to stop. So I say, I'm saying no three times. No, no, no. And that's it. And, you know, or I've learned, I was always sweet and kind and just listened to their whole spiel. But now I just hang up.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I say. You know, thanks for your call. I'm not interested. And I hang up because they're
right.
You know, trained to keep you on the line and interact with you and, you know, the best case scenario is they actually convince you and you really want what they're selling. The second best case scenario is they make you put you in a position where you feel like you have to buy your way out of the call. You know, all right, I'll buy it. Just let me
right.
go. You don't
right.
have to stay there just because they want you to. You know, you can say no thanks and you hang up. And you don't have to worry about being offensive. I mean, they are making calls that you didn't ask for. And that goes with the territory. And if the person feels like they don't
right.
like that job, they can get another job. I mean, I've been a telemarketer, so I can speak from a position of experience. But
right.
I was actually good at it, and I hated it. But
okay, let's go on to the next topic.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to break here. We've actually crossed the hour mark here. You're listening to Vaccines and Your
okay.
Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips and my wonderful, lovely co-host, Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. We're going to go to a short break here, and we'll be right back. And please stay with us.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hello again, Freedomist Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
I'm not a lab rat.
My family is not a bunch of lab rats.
I am not a lab rat.
Thanks, but no thanks.
80% of the processed food in America has been genetically modified.
That's GMOs. That's GMOs.
You can't even tell what foods contain GMOs at the grocery store.
Because no GMO food labels are required. That makes us the guinea pigs.
Sounds like an experiment to me.
GMOs are scary.
It's up to you.
You're an adult. You can vote.
I can't vote because I'm a kid.
Vote yes.
Vote yes.
Please vote yes. Count the cookie.
Freedomizer, you have a voice.
How will you vote when initiatives are added to the ballot in your state?
We are back with Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S., and in just a few minutes, Debbie Bruck of Homeopathy World Community talking to you about homeopathy for the last half hour of our two-hour segment here. But a few more minutes here to talk about some vaccine-related issues. Debbie, you had another one you wanted to get into this afternoon?
I wanted to tell everybody to check out the National Vaccine Information Center, or the Vaccine Information Network. You can check them out. They have a Facebook page, which they constantly update all day long with news, and the NASH NVIC, which you can belong to and find out what's happening in your state and participate as an active citizen. Because you're going to get the latest and know and meet other people who are in the same mindset. Now, what I want to introduce today is the most recent news that came to me in my inbox, in my email box, which you would get if you're a member of NVIC, and that is Barbara Lowe Fisher talking about vaccination during pregnancy. She starts off talking about her own personal experience when, in 1977, when she became a new mother and found out what happened to her own child with vaccines. And she explains that mothers in her generation were told to take extra vitamins and eat nutritious foods, but most of all to avoid anything that could harm the developing fetus, like alcohol, cigarette smoke, medications, radiation, household cleaning products, and other toxic exposures. We have so many more things to worry about because we've become an environmental toxic nation, both in our indoor products and the way our water is provided and the waste products that come off of corporate industry and into the air. And, you know, I could go into Fukushima. That's a whole nother ball game. But the question about injecting pregnant women with flu or DTaP or other shots during pregnancy, this is the new line given by health officials, obstetricians, and pediatricians, saying that they're going to protect pregnant women and newborn from getting sick with the influenza and B pertussis whooping cough. Now, there's been no testing of this. She says the time-honored rule of avoiding any potential toxic exposure that might interfere with the normal development of fetus has been suspended and replaced with an assumption that vaccination during pregnancy is safe. There really is no scientific evidence to prove that point. And yet that is what, and it's again going into your physician, trusting your physician, knowing that they're up to the latest news, the latest medicine, and you just go along with it. Why would you even question your physician? So I guess I'm talking about the same topic as I started off with, and she provides a most beautiful video of her speaking at the NVIC website all about this. And let me tell you if I can, it's in the November issue 2013. It's called Vaccination During Pregnancy, Is It Safe? And she talks only, it's, you know, one of the things about video today is you can get a lot of information in 10 minutes. It's unbelievable. And so this is a short 16-minute spot of her talking and sharing her experience and her research. So I wanted to put that out there. You have a comment?
As always, you
do have a comment.
I had my button muted there. I have heard both directly from pregnant healthcare workers and then from other healthcare workers who have colleagues who are pregnant healthcare workers, and the aggressive push for the flu vaccine in the hospital setting. They will not allow pregnancy as a basis for an exemption. And it is just so mind-boggling because you look at the package inserts for the vaccines and they'll all say, you know, not tested on pregnancy. No, don't know if it's harmful to a fetus or not, or language to that effect. There's no testing to back this up. And the idea that you would just seemingly completely arbitrarily, aside from, well, there's a small percentage of people there that, you know, we're not getting money from, so let's go ahead and give those shots. It's not that there aren't lots of pregnant women in the country, but it just seems to me such a stretch that it's hard for me to believe that this is just about maximizing the market share, that they're just going to pretend that you can assume it's safe. Because what's going to happen is a lot of women, pregnant women, will get these vaccines. A lot of children, fetuses, and then later children will be damaged or harmed by it. Some pregnancies will be lost. We saw that with the swine flu vaccine that was specifically pushed on pregnant women in particular. We saw the pregnancy termination rate multiply by a staggering amount. There was something on the order of a 2,500% increase in pregnancy terminations from the associated with the swine flu vaccine as compared to the seasonal flu vaccine the year before. And it was just phenomenal. It is really, really hard not to come away from this feeling like this is some sort of population control agenda here. I mean, is it really so important to limit people's use of the world's resources that you're going to resort to something like lies to have them innocently go in and damage their children to pay more money treating the damage to the pharmaceutical industry, or actually kill some so that we can curb the population growth rate? I used to just laugh and roll my eyes at the suggestion that vaccines had anything to do with population control. But when you look at something like this, that's just the It's the only thing that makes sense. It's the, you know, I'm not saying that therefore it's true. I'm saying I don't see anything else that fits this set of facts. And I'd be delighted to hear, you know, anybody else's view on that. But you don't, it's like you were talking about just avoiding household cleaners, you know. If you're going to do something as careful as that, which is good advice, I'm sure, then why would you be injecting known carcinogens and other toxic ingredients that are commonly in routine immunizations and injecting that directly into the bloodstream with somebody who's growing a baby? It just doesn't compute.
And a mother would have an innate protective mechanism. They would have a sense whether what they're doing is right or wrong. And I'm sure that they question their own decision-making because especially, and this is something I've brought up many, many times, when you're young and a new mother, you're an innocent. You really don't know that much about the world. You haven't been told. And your parents maybe don't know that much about what's going on. And unless you're really investigating, you will never know. And then it's usually too late. And we hear these stories on Facebook. If you go onto the vaccination websites on Facebook, you hear all of their stories. And you, you know, you're compassionate and sympathetic and empathetic for their situation because they find out with the first child and then they take action after that. But it shouldn't be that way. Let's see. Other things that I wanted to talk about today, I think this is one that Lily spoke about earlier in today's show because she's right ahead of us. Why medical authorities went to such extremes to silence Dr. Andrew Wakefield. That's on Mercola.com, and I encourage people to go there and look at that because that is a response to anybody who speaks out against the medical authorities and has a different point of view. And that's why a person who does that really steps out of their security net. Actually, who was it? Dr. Carley recently contacted me, and I'm going to have to put that, Dr. Rebecca Carley recently connected with me and sent me some information, which I'd like to put out there, too, once I take a closer look at it. Lily was talking about the measles outbreak and mumps vaccine. That was on Natural News with Mike Adams and how it is a fraud. So listen to the beginning of the show. She went through most of that. And then I want people to also look at pandemicresponseproject.com. That's your website where you itemize on your news feed what you found out. And so you put, is there something there that was particularly of interest? The Autism Action Network, the congressional briefing, the law breaking of the VICP revealed. Is that something you wanted to speak about?
Well, there's a list of things there. Of course, Debbie, I don't get every single vaccine news item by any means, and I sometimes will even particularly not get some of the medical news information unless it's got a politics aspect to it.
Right.
Because I'm
trying
to focus
on the legal issues.
Yeah, law and politics.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of other sites out there that are putting out all kinds of information. But well, I'll tell you one thing, just a real quickie here. An article about Johnson & Johnson where they've got to pay a $2 billion, actually I think it's $2.2 billion fine. And I don't know if that's – usually it'll be some combination of criminal and civil, and I don't know if they've divided up yet what they're going to call what. But this is at least – in fact, they had a greater than a $1 billion – of course, the article mentions greater than $1 billion – settlement or fine just with the state of Arkansas. This is the third and fourth examples I've heard of a single pharmaceutical company having fines or settlements of over $1 billion. And I feel like I'm sometimes beating the proverbial dead horse with this, but I just feel like it really bears being repeated over and over again, that this is an industry that routinely engages in criminal behavior. That's not a figure of speech. That's a literal fact. When Pfizer had a $1 billion criminal fine, a $1.3 billion civil fine in 2009, last year Glaxo had a $3 billion fine, $1 billion criminal, $2 billion civil, and then Johnson & Johnson now is going to pay $2.2 billion for what the article title calls false marketing, basically illegal marketing of prescription drugs. This is something that is routine in the industry. They paid huge fines for it. But it's still a net profit for them, obviously, because they keep doing it. The companies would not keep doing this unless there was a net profit. Now, on the one hand, when they get caught, they pay sometimes these huge fines in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Criminal and civil fines are common. The billion-dollar ones are less common, but becoming more common. And they pay all this money into the government. Well, the government turns around and pays them billions of dollars. For example, billions of dollars a year go from the federal government to the pharmaceutical industry to subsidize research and development for vaccines. So it's like, yeah, let's make it look good. We'll pay a fine once in a while, but then you're going to pay it back to us later anyway. You know, it's not like I think they like paying the fines, but it obviously isn't stopping the behavior. And the way I keep bringing this back to vaccines is I say, who in their right mind would want to be mandated to get a product from a company that routinely, or an industry that routinely engages in criminal behavior? And it's not like there's only one or two of them doing it. You go look the list of hundreds of millions of dollar fines, and you see a list of 10 or 12 or more different companies that are getting these fines. It's not just one or two that have gone bad. This is routine across the industry. These folks are criminals, and they do it deliberately. The moral, ethical, and legal, and even criminal legal boundaries are merely financial calculations. If they estimate that they'll come away with a net profit, they're going to cross any one or all of those lines. And again, this is not a theory. This is what we see happening in the real world over a period of many, many years. And the fines have steadily increased in numbers and amounts over the last couple of decades. So the problem's gotten worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other topics that you want to cover? I want to get as much in here today as possible.
So
Johnson & Johnson to pay $2 million for false marketing. Yeah, we're seeing this over and over again. We have a saying in my home, my husband and I look at each other and say, that's the cost of doing business. That's what we see now. It's accepted.
I wanted to accepted in the sense that it continues to happen.
By the corporations.
Yeah, and continues to happen, though you don't ever see this on the mainstream news as we might think we should. But there's another one. I just want to make a quick comment because I haven't actually read the full article called The Realities of Tobacco Science in Medical Research. And maybe this is a phrase that's been around for years and I just wasn't hearing it much or encountering it, but I think this phrase, tobacco science, is an important one and has application, of course, probably across the board, but certainly with vaccines and other parts of the healthcare industry. The reference, of course, is to the fact that doctors promoted cigarettes years ago. There was information from as far back as the 1800s where there were concerns about maybe tobacco had some relationship to cancer. It was pretty well established long before we were able to get that reality out into the mainstream, have the federal and state health agencies recognize and take steps on that information. I remember as a child watching on TV, I think there were six or seven tobacco company CEOs, and each one of them got up to the microphone one at a time and said, no, cigarettes don't cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically, a lying game to see how long they could keep stopping any information get out that would, of course, potentially profoundly undermine their profits. And so this is exactly the same thing. That was not an isolated instance. That is the status quo. That's the way that industry, many industries work. It's the way the healthcare industry works, for sure, that they're going to keep pushing and doing anything they can, including crossing moral, ethical, and criminal legal boundaries to maximize their profits. And until they are physically restrained, until somebody goes to jail for knowingly hurting other people unnecessarily, I think it'll continue. I think if they started throwing some pharmaceutical CEOs in jail, I mean a real jail for a real sentence, I think you'd see, I think the industry would collapse, because what's holding it up now is largely unlawful and unethical and immoral behavior. You started, you know, you put a real fear into them that they have to bring themselves down to the same standard as everybody else, and you'd see a radical shift in healthcare as we know it. Not holding my breath, but not ruling it out either. I think we're probably really close to the break.
You know what? I need to give everybody an encouraging word, because the news is so horrendous every single day, and it is depressing. And that is, each and every one of us is like a little light, a candle, and we together must join together and speak out and continue to light the candle in each of the other people that we come across and meet. Tell the truth. Tell your concerns. Give them information about how potentially everyone together can speak to the legislators who are making decisions and say, you know, we're not going to vote for you unless you listen to us and say, this is how we feel about a particular issue. And that's the only thing that I can think of. You know, do you have any other ideas, or you want to talk about that after break?
Well, let's go ahead and get to break here, because I want to make sure you get your full half hour at the end, folks. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. This is Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips and my lovely co-host Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community. We'll be back with you on the other side of the break to talk about homeopathy. Debbie knows her stuff, always has fascinating information that you can utilize to take more power and control over your own health and your own life. So you definitely want to stick around to hear what Debbie has to say, and we'll be back with you right after the break.
Hello, Freedomist. It's that time of year again. It is Freedomizer's third annual Freedomizer get-together here in Las Vegas. It's going to be over on Charleston and Valley View at Pink Peas. What we're going to do is we're going to have guest speakers galore. We're going to have all the Vegas hosts, including Austin and Lisa, Jerry from Sports Addicts, Cindy Lake, Proof Negative, and more. We'll have vendors. We'll have doTERRA essential oils demos. We're going to learn about Common Core, prepping, GMO foods, and we're going to meet all the other movers and shakers around town. We will have musical performances by Cecilia Satori and David Lee Williams. This will be at Pink Peas over at Charleston and Valley View, Saturday, November 30th, 1 to 8 p.m. See you there.
U.S. trade negotiators are pushing to complete the TPP this year. They're trying to keep it under the radar. The best way to stop the TPP is to drag it into the light of day. Right now, negotiators have appointed approximately 600 corporate lobbyists to serve as cleared advisors on the TPP, while refusing to release any of their negotiating proposals for public review. The corporate media is unlikely to inform the public about the TPP. We need to do it ourselves.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Exposing the Enemy. I'm your host, Jer. You can catch us on Wednesdays and Friday nights, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific, on FreedomizerRadio.com. You're going to find me, my co-host, Godsend Angel, and Dr. Elizabeth McKee, as we bring the news and the Word of God to you. Elizabeth?
Godsend Angel and myself discuss Bible prophecy being fulfilled and how to prepare spiritually in these last days.
Not forget to tune in, folks. It's always a good time with us. Call in or join us on a chat. Again, Wednesdays and Friday nights, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific, only on FreedomizerRadio.com. Exposing the enemy.
When tyranny rears its ugly head, will you bow and serve, or will you stand and fight?
Hi, everybody. This is Barack Obama. You get this hunger.
Everybody here wants the pie. We want to grow the pie, and then we want to slice of the pie.
When freedom is threatened, will you turn a blind eye, or will you sound the alarm?
The private sector is doing fine.
Hey folks, this is The Mouth, host of The Last Voice for Liberty Network. Tune in Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 Central for your ultimate dose of liberty right here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
What can we get done right now?
What?
This is the politics of the moment. This has to do with what can we get done right now?
What?
This is the politics of the moment. This has to do with what can we get done right now?
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Truth Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
We are back and finished with Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S., and now going on to Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, to talk to you for the rest of the segment here about homeopathy. Debbie, take it away.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Tons of stuff to talk about. I mean, I had things planned to talk about concussions and, you know, right now the number of athletes that are having concussions today is enormous, and their lives are totally changed and diminished. The veterans are also coming back with concussions, and our brains are very, very fragile. I did an hour show with Renita Herman this past Monday on bringing these people back to life, and homeopathy can help. It is a long struggle back to regaining your memory, regaining your ability to interact with your loved ones, not losing yourself into aggression, irritability, because when the brain is damaged in this way, then your emotions are changed and you kind of lose yourself. So instead of doing that, because that was my intent today, and I also spoke about it yesterday for a full hour, I'm just going to direct you to listen to the nissancommunications.com/healthinshow. healthin.php, or go to Homeopathy World Community and search out for Renita Herman and the show that I did with her, and yesterday on Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community, where I did a complete hour talking about memory and homeopathy and the homeopathic remedies that may address this issue. Always check your healthcare provider, your homeopath, and for legal issues, your professional expert lawyer. like Alan. Now, instead, because it seems to me that the Syrian issue, giving polio vaccine, this seems to be a really big issue. So I'd like to take a mention that on May 14th, 2012, I did an entire show about polio and what's going on. That was on Blog Talk Radio, Homeopathy World Community. You can search that and find out what information I said at that time about facts and science. I wanted to bring up now, the Syrian polio outbreak could spread to Europe, experts warn. This is November 7th, 2013. So once again, we're talking about initiating action, desperate action, emergency action, based on some projections and fear-based initiative by whether it's the World Health Organization or other organizations, how governments and countries and populations actually desire and want to have their children and their population vaccinated. They make it very desirable because of all of these warnings. And true, there is an outbreak of disease. The question about why there is an outbreak of disease, that might be hidden from our actual eyes. We don't really understand, except for if you're in a war-torn area and you have diminished clean water, you have very little food, you do not have shelter, people are vying for survival, and this mechanism, this natural mechanism of contagious disease comes about, and then possibly when you're giving an oral polio vaccine, you're talking about spreading the disease through the discharges from the body for people who are touching either the contaminated water or the people's saliva or sneezing, blowing your nose. It is very contagious. So do we understand this disease? Not many people really do. So the outbreak of polio in eastern Syria that has paralyzed, and note the use of the word paralyzed in the sentence structure, has paralyzed at least 10 children, could spread to neighboring regions, including Europe. So now we have pressure from other countries that are going to be put upon this area in such a silent way that no one would know it for a year. So basically they're saying that, you know, when a person gets a disease, they usually don't realize that they've got the contagious disease until a couple of days go by and they're into the more serious phase of the disease. That's a warning from two infectious disease experts in Germany who say that large numbers of Syrian refugees now fleeing that conflict-torn country could settle in Europe, bringing the virus to places that have been polio-free for decades. It's a worry echoed by U.S. polio experts who say that countries around the world, including America, must be vigilant for signs of spread. So this might be why in populations where we have not seen polio for many decades, we might feel here the government saying everyone must be vaccinated. Because polio causes symptoms, including paralysis, in only about 1 in every 200 people infected, it has the potential to spread widely to others unnoticed. Dr. Martin Eichner of the University of Tübingen and Dr. Stefan Brockman of, pardon my pronunciation, Reutlinger Regional Public Health Office in Germany wrote in The Lancet, saying that they're giving us a heads up of 1 year for this transmission of acute flaccid paralysis to outbreak into other regions, other countries besides war-torn Syria. The situation will be exacerbated because most European countries, like the U.S., use inactivated polio virus or vaccine or IPV rather than oral polio vaccine or OPV, because the live virus oral variety caused rare cases of paralysis in people who were vaccinated, while the IPV reduces transmission and protects well against paralysis, it only partially protects against infection. So what they're saying to us is that the IPV, the inactivated poliovirus, is only partially protective, while they're telling us the OPV, it has more protection in the population, yet it actually spreads the disease, and it actually can cause more virulent and resistant strains to develop where, you know, then we don't have any recourse, except for maybe homeopathy. And I'm going to get to that. If anybody, parents who have been concerned about vaccines are interested in homeopathic prophylaxis, there is a protocol being used on the national health. It is actually in a research study, and through the national government program, using certain homeopathic energy remedies for particular diseases. And if I look in my little book, Free and Healthy Children International, that's where you would go, Free and Healthy Children International, to find out about the HP program. The set of remedies cover pertussin, pneumonia, polio, Haemophilus B, meningitis, tetanus, peritonitis, which is mumps, and morbillinum for measles. So you're talking about whooping cough, pneumonia, polio, Haemophilus B, meningitis, tetanus, mumps, and measles. It's a 44-month protocol where parents are doing this for their own children once a month for 44 months to actually educate the immune system. And then over the course of years, we're going to find out the outcome, whether these children have actually built up stronger immunity without any side effects, which we're finding out the side effects of vaccines could possibly be autoimmune and written up in our medical journals. I wanted to give you one of those. That is on PubMed. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they talk about the link between pertussis vaccine and a risk of increase of asthma, autoimmune disease, and other kinds of things. So you're trading one thing for another. Of course, you don't want your child to die and have paralysis, but let's look at other kinds of steps that can be taken to cover a massive amount of people. Clean up the water, give them nutrition, provide a means of survival for these people. And I think that, this is my own personal thought, the disease will actually diminish on its own, as it did. So this information I've posted onto Homeopathy World Community. The poor inner cities across the United States, the number of asthma cases is exploding, and health officials don't know why. According to the CDC, 5,000 asthma deaths occur annually. It is estimated that 17.3 million people, 4.8 million are children, suffer from asthma, up from 6.7 million in 1980. Asthma usually begins before age 6, and blacks or the African-American population, 2 to 3 times more likely to die from asthma than the Caucasians. In the Bronx and Harlem sections of New York City, the hospitalization rate for asthma is 21 times higher than in more affluent areas of the city. The question on Cure Zone is, could the sharp rise in asthma in poor children be connected with immunosuppression caused by a barrage of vaccines, as well as lack of quality medical care and insurance, poor diet, environmental factors? So we have a lot of questions, and, you know, our health is so complex based on, you know, our populations and what we're able to do, our education, and, as I say, our environmental stressors that we have to deal with today. So let me continue with this article talking about the polio issue in Syria and use of concern that it will spread. How do we prevent it from spreading? probably by increasing the strength of the person's vital force. And I did mention that there are homeopathic remedies that are being used, what we call nosodes and other remedies that have been used for the different contagious diseases over 200 years and that have been effective. Polio is caused by a virus that spreads between people, but it can survive in water and sewage. The series of vaccines can protect people for life. Is that question what is being written in the news media? We know that vaccines have a supposed lifetime of like 3 to 5 years as effective and that you need to have boosters. Babies too young to have been vaccinated and children who don't get the full dose can be infected, they say. And that's why I want people to listen to what Barbara Lowe Fisher has said about injecting pregnant women. Is this a safe way? And what will be the outcome down the road for both the mother and the child? The outbreak in Syria has terrified 10 children in the country's Azure province. They're all younger than 2. They have gone unvaccinated because of the ongoing conflict that has now left half the population. That's 9 million people homeless with secondary bacterial infection. It is human stressors that put us in a vulnerable position. It's unclear how polio got back into Syria, they say, which had eradicated the virus supposedly in 1999. And you might go back historically and question that statement. Is it true? Did they eradicate virus? Did they rename it? And anytime that Alan wants to pop in here, he's welcome. Hey, are we out of time? No, we got about 10 minutes left? Okay. Polio immunization rates fell from 91% in Syria in 2010 to 68% in 2012, they say, because of the impact of conflict. And probably, and that is a statement by the World Health Organization. You can see images they provide of children with open mouths, like little birds waiting for their food. I mean, the image is unbelievable. Like, please give me this vaccine. Drop it into my mouth. I mean, you know, is this really how the people feel about having them come in and do this to their population? Or is there more fear? Remember, we have read in previous articles how nurses who were doing vaccination programs were actually shot and killed because they were afraid of what was really in these vaccines. You know, go back and look at the ingredients. Either they are strengthening the immune system or weakening the immune system. Make your own decision. Make your own investigation. Vaccination efforts are focusing on more than 2 million children in Syria, as well as in 7 neighboring countries. So it's in Iraq, Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, the Palestinian territories, and Egypt. Okay, so what might be going politically on in that region? Start to investigate. Start to make your own conclusions. Quote, without a doubt, it can go wider, go beyond Syria's borders, said Sarah Crow, spokeswoman for UNICEF. We talked about UNICEF, I think, earlier today in the show. Quote, disease knows no borders. Well, disease might know some borders. The Cuban experiment for leptospirosis, where it wasn't war-torn area, but it was devastation from hurricanes that annually create a disease population, were given millions of people through government efforts, were given a homeoprophylactic remedy. And what happened? There was literally zero disease the next time the hurricane came through and devastated the country. And the effects actually spread. The positive protective mechanism was spread to even areas beyond that region that was given the homeoprophylaxis. So do some information, do some searching on that. I posted a couple of articles on Hub pages to that effect, so people would realize that homeopathy is a protective mechanism. Hundreds of thousands of refugees have fled the country to seek help in the neighboring regions, including Europe. The German disease experts are calling for increased surveillance of sewage in settlements. That's really excellent. Let's clean up the waterways. This is a quote by Orenstein, the U.S. expert, who spearheaded a global declaration by more than 400 scientists that an end to polio is possible. He says he agrees with them. It is important to develop more use of environmental surveillance. In the U.S., imported cases of measles, and now we're bringing in another contagious disease, imported cases of measles have sparked recent outbreaks of the disease, particularly in pockets of unvaccinated children. So here again, question, what is stated and what is fact? What is real and what is unreal? The pockets of children who are getting these contagious diseases like measles, mumps, and rubella or pertussis, are they in the unvaccinated children or are they coming out in the vaccinated children? Question that, because no study has ever been done to find out what's going on in the vaccinated populations. And yes, children who are vaccinated are coming down with these contagious diseases. So he ends this story by saying, quote, measles is your canary in the coal mine. It's much more contagious than polio. With polio, we have been fortunate so far. So now that's the end of that article, and I think we have a few more minutes left to the show before I have to tune out. So I would like to just give you some information about what's coming up in future shows. On Monday, on the Health In Show, go to Homeopathy World Community. I have a banner up there. Maria Bowl is going to be talking about homeopathy as an upcoming profession. Folks who are really interested in homeopathy, especially healthcare providers, there is a program called Complete Dynamics Program. It's the one I use to study my homeopathic remedies and to do analysis. There is a free trial version that you can use on your desktop. It's awesome. And there are professional versions as well. Go to Homeopathy World Community, and along the right-hand column, you will see a little icon. It looks like a Leonardo da Vinci image. Click that, and it will take you to information about getting to CompleteDynamics.com and getting this program. In addition, there is the Gluten Summit. Go to Homeopathy World Community. .com, and at the very top of the page, it tells you that you can click to learn about the Gluten Summit. I have been listening for the past couple of days. It's going on from November 11th to 17th. Every day there are between 3 and 4 experts talking about gut health, our digestive system, the relationship to the environment, the relationship to GMO, the relationship to the change in our foods today, and what you can do if you're feeling symptoms of fatigue and difficulty with your bowels, constipation, foggy thinking, and all sorts of things. What can you do to clean that up and learn what these experts have found out over the last number of years? It's called the Gluten Summit, and there is a fantastic link to more information on the top of the page. I want to give everybody a tip out there. I just learned that I recommend if you're on Facebook, change your password due to a breach in the there was a data breach this past month, and millions of your Facebook information and login passwords have been out there to particular corporations. Who knows who they are? I don't know. But this is a warning. Go ahead and change your Facebook password today. Another thing I would like to request and recommend, on your email signature, I have posted a link to The Silent Epidemic. Gary Null he is my hero. And every time I send a message to a friend, it says on the bottom of my signature, have you heard the untold story? And if you put bit.ly/the untold story, save our children, use critical thinking, scientists and physicians request a question this testing. So do we have safety and efficacy in our vaccines? Listen to what the scientists and the physicians on the other side of the coin say, because we're not getting it in mainstream media. Check out The Silent Epidemic. Put it on and tell your friends about it. Listen to Freedomizer Radio. Go to freedomizerradio.com. Proof negative. He's out there. He can spark some controversy. He's telling it like it is. He doesn't care what people say. Listen to his show and many of the other shows on Freedomizer Radio. Check it out, PandemicResponseProject.com. That's Alan Phillips and his news. If you need help with making a decision about your rights and freedoms, health freedoms, to or not to get a vaccination, he can give you some great advice. Oh, I want to give you a positive thought. This is on my Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/Debbie Brock, you will get to me each and every day. I put together a thought for the day. I'm on day number 96. This is what I said yesterday. Knowing your material as an expert in a particular discipline provides the necessary information to speak off the cuff, but more importantly, provides the confidence to deal with unexpected events. And that's why I say I'm watching the Gluten Summit. But I must say, this is takes off of what Alan said earlier in the show. As a young adult, you don't have the confidence. So find a niche. Find something that you really are going to be expert at that will build your self-confidence and knowledge and ability to speak affirmatively about your belief system, and this will really give you the confidence to do that. So even at a young age, you can do this. I'm in a networking group, and a young 21-year-old woman is starting her own networking. I admire people who, when they're young, can actually make a difference in the world. If you want to contact me, homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com. I'm going to post now a couple of ads and sign off because my time is up and I want to give the next person up on Freedomizer Radio a chance to call in as the host. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We love feedback. Go to Homeopathy World Community on Facebook. Let us know that you have been listening. Thank you. And sending love and waves of awareness, lots of love and healing to Alan Phillips and all of our listeners.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house. And Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black.
Thank you for listening to Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S. with co-hosts Alan Phillips and Debbie Brock on Homeopathy World Community Radio. Remember to educate,
before you vaccinate.
Let your truth be unfurled.